WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Alec Murdaugh's fate is now in the hands of the jury. CBS's Nikki Batiste is covering the double murder trial in Waltersboro, South Carolina.
His voice quivering in the final moments, Alec Murdaugh's attorney asked the jury to find his client not guilty of murdering his wife and son.
I respectfully request that you do not compound a family tragedy with another.
Attorney Jim Griffin accused law enforcement of fabricating evidence and failing miserably in their investigation into the 2021 murders of Maggie and Paul Murdaugh.
If convicted, Murdaugh faces 30 years to life in prison. The Justice Department is giving Capitol Police officers and Democratic lawmakers the green light to sue former President Trump over the attacks on January 6. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
We do recognize that presidents have a very robust freedom of speech. On the other hand, the court is being asked to draw the line that there's a point where you have a president who's engaged in inciting violence. He's no longer protected by his duties.
The U.S. is sending more aid to Ukraine.
You'll see us tomorrow, just unilaterally, the U.S. will have another round of assistance for Ukraine coming tomorrow. And it will include mostly ammunitions and munitions that the Ukrainians will need for the systems that they already have, like the HIMARS and the artillery.
White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby there. He says this latest package will total about $400 million. Authorities are investigating a wave of poisoning attacks that targeted hundreds of schoolgirls in Iran. Students reported smelling a mix of tangerines and cleaning products before feeling symptoms like headaches and heart palpitations. Some ended up in the hospital. All that snow and rain in California recently is helping on the drought front.
Half the state is no longer under a three-year-old drought. The Central Valley, the Sierra foothills, the coastlines, and the Bay Area. Rich Tinker is with the U.S. Drought Monitor.
Now, believe it or not, most reservoirs are still below normal for this time of the year, but we're talking about 90 to 95% of normal, whereas in the autumn we were talking about 50% of normal. So there's been a huge increase.
The reservoirs that are lacking rely on snowmelt rather than immediate rain, and more Sierra snow is on the way. Holly Kwan for CBS News, San Francisco.
The CDC says a man in Florida died from a brain-eating amoeba last month after rinsing his sinuses with tap water. Experts are still investigating the death, but warning others to boil water and let it cool or use distilled water with neti pots. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. March brings the opportunity to explore the natural world at UW-Stevens Point Schmeichley Reserve. UW-Stevens Point students lead the programs, which are all outdoors, so dress for the weather. They have different sessions each day on March 3rd and 4th, then March 10th through the 12th. Email schmeichley@uwsp.edu to register or call 715-346-4492. Liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Janet Protasiewicz says if elected on April 4th, she will recuse herself from cases brought by or against the Democratic Party of Wisconsin because of the millions of dollars funneled into her campaign for the state's highest court. Conservative candidate Dan Kelly has not made the same pledge to step away from cases involving Wisconsin's Republican Party, which has supplied not only funding for his campaign but office space as well. Kelly says he'll decide on a case-by-case basis. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with a low of 20. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 39. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 22. About an inch of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 35.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we're coming live from Macho Hodus, the studio here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're all beamed all over Civic Media Network, and we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Ogama, you know this, don't you? Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And we all know this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Ogama, I hate to tell you, the show is taken over by Roberts today, and you're the only other person here, so I don't know if we're going to change the name to Robert's Show, because we have Robert Lilligren of NADKE and Robert Blake, which I like to call Bob Blake from Red Lake with Solar Bear today, and then along with me, Robert Pilot. So you're on your own island there, but how do you feel about that?
You know, I think I can get behind it just because Robert's really not a common name for people who present as a female gender. But, you know, it's all good. I think the Roberts is always a good show. All of you have great things to say.
Well, hey, thanks. There'll be a little something in your envelope next week, so I appreciate that compliment. And, hey, before we get too deep into this, I just want to give a shout-out to everybody out there, and I also want to talk about what you do, Ogama, and you do the news that you don't hear anywhere else, and we're really happy and happy to have you on each day and speaking the truth all over Turtle Island. So let's get with it here with Ogama with the news.
I'm on mute. Hi. Bonjour, relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We have not touched in and talked a lot about Stop Line 3. You know, Line 3's construction, unfortunately, happened here in Minnesota, and we haven't really had a lot of time to touch on the events that are still going on, even though construction was completed here. So upcoming events in the month of March for Flood the Courts from Stop Line 3, great events that are coming up March 8th, 9th, and 10th at 8:30 a.m. That is going to be at the Duluth, St. Louis County District Court in Duluth. They're going to be supporting multiple defendants in the fight against Line 3 because they're going to be facing a three-day jury trial on March 8th. Court is set to begin at 8:30 a.m. Central Time at the St. Louis County District Court, which is located at 100 North 5th Avenue West in Duluth, Minnesota. It will be on the fourth floor in courtroom one. Please be aware if you're going to join for these court support events that unfortunately courts are subject to sudden changes. So check your email if you haven't already signed up for the court support emails. You can check there and make sure that you try to get any updates you can before before you travel. There's also a virtual Flood the Court for Clearwater Courts for BA Grandma Jill. She'll have a Zoom pre-trial and then a Zoom jury trial. BA Grandma is asking you to join her in solidarity in court as she faces charges for resisting Line 3 in Clearwater County. The Zoom is available again on the Flood the Courts support website. I'm not going to read out all the Zoom information, but I can put it in the chat if there's anybody who would like that information. So that's for the pretrial for Clearwater County. And then Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st, starting at 8:30 a.m., is the jury trial for VA Grandma Jill. She took her third stand to protect sacred water at the Mississippi headwaters. And she's unfortunately already paid a dear price for her action here in Minnesota. During one of her arrests, she was damaged. She was injured by a police officer, and she's dealing with chronic pain and possibly permanent injury from that. And she said that despite the arrest, she is consoled by the presence of people joining her. So they are going to rally in person for the trial March 30th and 31st in Clearwater County outside the courthouse. That is going to be at the Clearwater County Courthouse at 213 Main Avenue North, number 303 in Bagley, Minnesota. Her jury trial will start at 9 a.m., but the rally starts at 8:30. And she'll have a necessity defense and an account of suffering five severe pain compliance incidences during her efforts to try to stop rights violations perpetuated by the completion of the tar sands pipeline Line 3. There are upcoming dates that are really important too. There's all day Zoom support for Aiken County on March 23rd. Aiken County, Minnesota has the most open cases of any county related to the Line 3 protest, and water protectors with open cases in this county have had to wait an exorbitant amount of time for the state to respond. Beginning March 23rd at 9 a.m. Central, there will be back-to-back hearings for most of the day, and the majority of which will be Rule 8 hearings, which is the first hearing after an arraignment. And you can show support for these water protectors who have been in legal limbo now for 2 years. Again, that's March 23rd, Zoom court support in Aiken County. There's going to be support for water protectors in Aiken County in person on March 31st, and you can support water protectors at the in-person contested omnibus hearing on March 31st, starting in the morning at the Aiken County Courthouse. You can support water protector Don Goodwin in person on April 4th. Don Goodwin will have a rescheduled hearing on April 4th at the Aiken County Courthouse at 9 a.m. Central. There will be more information coming up on that soon. And Tara Hauska has in-person support scheduled for April 5th. She will be in a motion hearing at Aiken County Courthouse on April 5th at 1:30 p.m. Central, and more details will come of that in the future for from Flood the Court email announcements. If you haven't yet, go on over to actionnetwork.org and find the campaign Receive Line 3 Flood the Courts updates. You should be able to just do a quick search in the upper right that says Flood the Courts, and it'll bring it right up for you. And you can get those emails and updates to know when and where to show up to support water protectors who put it all on the line during the Line 3 pipeline. I also wanted to talk a little bit, Robert, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but are you familiar with like the crying Indian video or the crying Indian GIF? Robert?
Are you talking about the Italian dude from the 70s with the pollution? Or
yes, the old pollution commercial. So
he was crying, you know, he saw the lands being trashed, and he had a big old teardrop in his eye, and he's wearing buckskin, and he was tanned and looking good. Yeah, that's him looking good.
That would be it. So this ad has been deemed inappropriate after it's been transferred to the National Congress of American Indians, which, you know, even for its debut in 1971, it was probably inappropriate there as well. It's from an old anti-pollution ad, which shows the person in native attire shedding a single tear when they look at pollution, smokestacks, and litter taking over the land. And it's really been a big piece of TV and pop culture, even for Native people. And it's just kind of generally referred to as the crying Indian. And it made the actor Iron Eyes Cody a recognizable face in households. But the nonprofit originally that commissioned the advertisement, which was called Keep America Beautiful, has been considering how to retire the ad. And they announced this week that it's doing so by transferring the ownership rights to the National Congress of American Indians. And they are going to retire it for good. So, you know, I think that's good news. And it's long overdue, right, Robert?
Yeah, and I agree. We're cutting into commercial time here, but I do know that he was really active in the Native community. He also adopted Native children, so it's a long and windy story with him. It's a very interesting story, but that's good that they brought it back to the community. Hey, we'll be right back with Robert, one of the Roberts. We'll guess which one when they come on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ho-wa.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Hey, we got Robert Lilligren with us, and we haven't talked to Robert in a long time. It seems like a long time. A lot of things happening all over. A lot of great things happening at the Minnesota State Capitol. Welcome, Robert Lilligren. And I don't know if you saw Ogama's note in the chat there. Robert Blake will be on next, and it will be the Robert Show.
Right. It's Robert squared, right? Or Robert, yeah, tripled.
So how have you been? What's going on the Avenue? What's going on with your organization? We'll always want to bring that up too, that you're the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We always like to touch base and talk a little politics, reminisce about how old we are and things like that, or how young we are. Oh,
I like that better. Bonjour, Robert. So nice to be here. And it has been a while since you and I talked. Had the last 2 weeks off. And then before that, you were traveling. That's the week that Ogama produced the NACD show. And that went really well. That was fun to talk about our work.
And I was listening to that, and I gotta just say, the Valley of the Dolls, the person that works with you, I mean, I knew people from that. I mean, what a small world here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Isn't it? Yeah, when I was interviewing him, because he'd been living in South Dakota for a while. We're talking about John Williams, who's our development director at NACD, and he's just great. He's like a superstar. But he got his start in the development and nonprofit world with Ballet of the Dolls, an old dance company, sort of an avant-garde ballet company here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis back in the 80s, 1980s. Wow. Maybe the 90s. No, I think it was the 80s. And
the late 80s.
Yeah. And so John and I figured that we were probably in the same room or maybe at the same crazy parties together at some point, but we haven't quite pinned it down if we'd met back then, but I'd be surprised if we didn't.
It's crazy because I went to high school with a professional ballerina that was in that too.
Valley of the Dolls.
A small world. I was listening to the show, and not critiquing. You guys are veterans. Yeah. We are figuring. We've been on Native Roots Radio. Has been on over 700. Had over 700 shows.
Wow.
And thinking back, the last few, you've been on like 3 years, so you got to be in there in the hundreds,
getting close to the hundreds. It seems like more.
Easy. Hey, you mentioned when we were texting a little bit before the show that I've been running around doing some stuff.
You've been a very busy guy.
I was at Wounded Knee, and what really struck me, and I said this earlier, was that. From these young people that went there, and I mean, they got the call just like Standing Rock and all these other things that have happened over the years, and some of them just came back for the first time in 50 years, and I talked to quite a few, and I think of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, and then carrying that work with them the rest of their life and how important that was. And I think you and I see that quite often, but we don't call it out in a good way.
Yeah, well, and we try to call it out, right? I mean, I just was so impressed with some of the social media I saw from you all out at Wounded Knee, for the 50th anniversary of the second occupation. I've been there. It's such a solemn place, it's heavy. But I was so impressed with the generations that were out when you were out there and how many young people were out there with the elders. And so it's very gratifying, right, to feel that generational continuity and then to see the enthusiasm and the energy and passion of some of those young folks that there and seem like, okay, things are going to be okay.
Right. And it may be called something else. It may not be called American Indian Movement. It may be called something else, but American Indian Movement, I think going there reminded me of, if you think you're AIM, you are AIM, and you don't need a card or anything to prove that. So the old schoolers were there too, that are still around.
Well, and then some generational, you know, some families, right? Pat Bellinger, you know, one of the mothers of AIM, and then Lisa Bellinger, who's leading the efforts here now, and to see that, you know, generations, legacies like that, that's something.
It really is. I don't know if you caught the newspaper today, the Minneapolis paper, but there was a big article about it, and the author and the photographer, we were, John Anderson and I were hanging out with a lot, and an amazing article, kind of, you know, what we're talking about, mending and bridging generations here, you know. A lot of AIM swag, and everyone was wearing American Indian Movement swag, which was amazing to see.
It looked great, right? It made me, yeah, I did see the article, and they had that wonderful photo gallery as well. I saw a few of them with you and M. Robert, so good work jumping in front of the camera. But yeah, seeing all that AIM swag, that made me think, oh, I got to dig out my AIM stuff, you know, my AIM swag. But one thing I really liked about the Star Tribune article, the Minneapolis Star Tribune articles were, you know, front and center, which was nice. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, they hung the story along, you know, the lines of sort of Lisa Bellinger's story, you know, a second generation leader, AIM leader, and then a young activist sister Rachel Thunder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I liked that it was showing this kind of generational piece, but also the emphasis on women's leadership.
Yeah. Right?
And I know that you moderated a panel on the women of AIM while you were out there. And I just like, good. Right. I'm glad that that's what, you know, was kind of the core of the story.
You know, and it was amazing, too. You know, Ogama and I have worked with Warrior Women Project over the years. And that's how we know Madonna Thunderhawk and her sister and her daughter. Sure. And it's like old home week to see them. It's nothing but good energy and laughs. But those guys, let me back up a second. There were lawyers there that were in their 20s that just got out of law school to work on this case because of all the people getting arrested after that. And it was amazing. You know, they're in their 70s now, and it started their career with helping the American Indian Movement and helping the women. And it was like watching old home week, people showing up that hadn't seen each other in years. But also people that didn't know that they were there at the same time and met later on in life. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just all these
that's
different.
Trippy.
Yeah, really trippy. I think that's the way to go, because they were all in their own bunkers. Like Madonna Thunderhawk's son was 10. And they didn't expect to, what I found out this weekend is they did not expect to be there or occupy Wounded Knee. It's the police and the armored people started shooting at them, and they had to take cover when they were there. And she said, I would never have a 10-year-old do this.
Sure. Yeah. Well, those are some stories, huh? But it felt like you were in the currents of history while you were out there.
And I love history, so that really was my jam. So what's going on in the Avenue? What's going on with Robert Liljegren?
Yeah, there's a lot going on down here. And one of the things that's kind of roiling throughout the community here, and it's actually mentioned in the Star Tribune article about the Wounded Knee trip, is the issues around a development that's planned right here in the Native community, right next to Little Earth of United Tribes, which is sort of the residential heart and hub of our Native community here. And there's a conflict between the community's interests and desires and that of the city government. And it's really come to a head these last few weeks because Minneapolis City Council voted to demolish the building, which the community has valid fears about it releasing more toxins and contaminants into the air. And the area that we're talking about is probably the most contaminated land that anyone lives on in this state. The communities that live in this heavily contaminated area suffer all these chronic health issues. This is Little Earth of United Tribes is right there. There's up to and including death. People die from some of the contaminants.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. But did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin taxpayers could be on the hook for nearly $2.5 million after a Dane County judge ordered Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to pay legal fees to American Oversight. The Washington-based group successfully sued to get records from former Justice Michael Gableman's probe into alleged fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Meanwhile, Gableman has billed taxpayers over $500,000 for his review, which ultimately found no proof of voter fraud. Prices remain high for nearly everything. The U.S. Department of Agriculture found January food prices were 10% higher than at the same time last year. Eggs are among the items that have gone up the most, due in large part to a highly contagious avian flu. Egg prices are 70% higher than in 2022. A dozen Grade A large eggs are double what they cost last year. In sports, the Bucks beat Orlando last night. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with a low of 20. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 39. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 22. About an inch of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 35.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
By the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council. Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good.
E2Go.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring culture and tradition.
Right on, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren from a Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I kind of took up your segment there, so I think I'm going to start asking you questions.
it's always fun chatting. Yep.
You know, one of the things, there's a lot going, good things going on at the Capitol with our friends there. And what really sticks out in your mind here in the last few weeks?
Some of it is about what's really impacting us right here in the urban community and in the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then the project that we were talking about just before the break, even the Roof Depot project, has made an appearance at the Capitol as well. It just cleared its first hurdle for some funding for the community's vision from House Committee. So, wow. You know, that's good to hear. Yeah. And then we have an effort that's called the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, UILI, that's really being led by Dr. Joe Hobart of the American Indian OIC. But there's some 36 participating Native orgs seeking greater capital investment in the urban Indian organizations. We all have this aging infrastructure. We all need capital infusion, and it's been very, you know, some success. And so it's a very organized effort, lobbying effort. There'll be a day at the Hill, Capitol Hill. And so that's exciting to watch that make its way through and to see our folks over there advocating for our community.
Yeah, Robert, you know, you've been in the political game yourself for many years. I don't know. Well, I'm going to say nationally, too. I don't know if I've seen so much get done so fast. And that has to do with Biden, too. I mean, he was vice president for 8 years and had been in Congress for, I don't know, 40 years before that. It's amazing how much stuff he's getting done, but the least credit he's getting from the other side. And again, here in Minnesota, all the things that are getting done, I don't think I've ever seen stuff like this could happen so quick.
Right. And I mean, on the federal level and with President Biden, there's people just kind of tamping that record down, you know, and when you see what's actually gotten done during this, his first term as president, it's impressive. And that can be pulled out during the campaign and really sort of dusted off, and people can be made aware of that. But you're right. I don't think he's getting the credit that he deserves. But here, man, it's just going crazy. And if folks know, we had what we call the trifecta for our last election for the first time in, 12 years. Yeah. Our governor, our state senate, and our state house are all under Democratic control. And the leadership was clear. We want, how did the speaker of our state house, Melissa Hartman, said, we want maximum efficiency in our legislating, you know, and I'm sure some people don't like what's getting passed, but I think people like when stuff gets passed.
Yeah.
And stuff happens. And, you know, usually we watch our split government sit for a session, not getting much accomplished. Then in the final hours of the session, they try to get everything accomplished.
Right.
And then they can't. And so it's a special session, or what happened last year. There was no special session, so nothing got accomplished.
Right.
So I didn't see something happen. So stuff is happening here, and it's happening quickly. Good stuff.
You know, and to back up what you said earlier in the last segment about the young ones, again, Gen Z saved our rears. They outvoted us old old boomers, you know, right? I'm right on the cusp there, and I know you're a boomer too, and that's really good to hear, and they're paying attention, especially to those things like college, healthcare. I mean, if you could get universal healthcare, that would change the world and the workforce.
Right, and our country's health, right? We have the most costly healthcare system in the world, and we have about the worst health outcomes of any industrialized nation. And it's such a disconnect. We pay the most for the worst, right? And
exactly.
So, but these, you're right about these young people, and really the younger people are the largest and voting block, right? They're now, or close to the largest, but they're deciding elections, and they should, right? It's their future.
Exactly.
So how do we lift those voices up? How do we, you know, guide folks without being obstructionists? And yeah, this is an interesting political time. And we're gearing up for next year, too. As you know, we have our Make Voting a Tradition, and we're involved in voter outreach and political engagement at the local level. By 2024, we'll have some statewide partners, and that's all ramping up already. So
yeah,
we're doing our part.
It should be, and it's amazing, too, that the young ones are I was thinking, you know, the problems and the things that, you know, maybe the older generation and the right wing worry about is second nature to our Gen Zers, and they don't care about the petty stuff that they do. They want, people are people, you know, from all the way up and down. And so that's good. We need to get out of their way and pave a good way for the young ones.
Yeah, and support them, right?
Right.
And that's kind of what's going on right here in the community with this development project I was talking about. We call it the Roof Depot Project in the community.
Right.
And you have these different sectors of our community all coming together to stand with each other. And I think that's so good for us to be shoulder to shoulder, to appreciate the space that somebody, you know, I don't do direct action that much anymore, but direct activists are really paving the way, right? They're an important part of the movement. And then people like me who have access to policymakers and things, you know, I'm playing a role, and artists are playing a role.
Right.
To really see, appreciate, respect, and support each other's roles. And I haven't seen it come together quite like this here since the hideous scaffold project at the Walmart Center Sculpture, where everyone came together. You know, we in the community, it was very robust and rambunctious, but we all united behind one message: bring it down. Everyone did their part, you know, and we were so successful. So it just, to me, there's a little bit of that right now, where if we can figure out how to keep standing together, I think we have the greatest opportunity for success, and then we're best set up for whatever comes next as a unified community.
I asked Madonna Thunderhawk in Wounded Knee, because there was a lull of people, and I remember her telling me this a few years ago, and where are all the activists? Where are they? And I asked her about that, and she said, you know, people that are raising their children are warriors. People that are on their keyboards are warriors. People that are cleaning, you know, so we're all warriors doing the best we can. We don't all have to be on the front line. And that's important to hear, because, you know, that's a veteran that's been everywhere from Alcatraz to everything, from Alcatraz to Line 3.
Right, right. And to acknowledge other people's contributions. And early on in my activist days, my organizing days, I had a realization that whatever someone can bring is enough, right? That's just enough. That's if that's what you could bring. And to respect that, you know, not everyone is like us, always running it and finding more stuff to do.
Yeah, I'm wondering why my back's sore, and it's like, oh, you've been standing for 10 hours.
That could be going on aches and pains. And
right.
Too.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to bring on Robert Blake and then make this a trifecta here, too, and the last couple minutes here with you. And Solar Bear with the Solar News is coming on soon. Robert, good to see you. It's all three of us and Ogama. And Ogama looks sad and outnumbered, if you can. But great talk as always. Robert, how do you want to leave us today? What else? Do you got a 30
which
second?
Which Robert?
Yeah. Well, that one says Bob Blake from Red Lake, so I'm going with White Earth Ojibwe there. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, first up, I got to say, hey, Robert, hey, Bob, nice to see you. It's been a while, so cool. And then I like this moody lighting that you have.
Yeah.
Very dramatic.
It's kind of Kurtz from Apocalypse Now going on over there, if you ever, maybe that's an old reference, sorry.
Cool. So I guess I'll just say as I depart that, you know, now what we're starting to do, we're planning for American Indian Month here. In American Indian Month, we have May in Minnesota, and then the Twin Cities is American Indian Month. So kind of stay tuned. There's a lot of planning going on. There's going to be a ride, I understand. So there'll be horses. We'll have a march and things and other Indian Month activities, and then all the open houses, Bob or Robert, as you're familiar with, you know, the open houses, all the Native orgs open houses. So stay tuned, more to come.
That's great. And Bob Blake from Red Lake, do you have anything to say to Robert Lilligren and or Robert Pilot before we wrap up this segment? We got a couple more minutes.
Oh man, I was just gonna say, well, hey, do you guys remember John Trudell?
Said, oh yeah,
there was going to be like in the future, like warriors were going to be like, you know, in different, you know, we were going to be like bankers but lawyers, and you know what I mean, like there was going to be all these different types of ways that we were all going to contribute, like you said, Robert, you know what I mean. And John Trudell was talking about that, like we weren't going to be just like in front of everybody, but we were all going to be merging in with different types of, you know, gifts, you know, so to speak. So, yeah, I just remember John Trudell saying that.
Thanks for bringing that up, Bob. And I got to say, it's we're all marching into bellies of beasts. They just might be different beasts. And to really respect that. And so if it's, you know, we have a lieutenant governor, Ojibwe sister, you know, we got to support her. She's not in a friendly environment. And then we have activists, like we were talking about Rachel Thunder, or, you know, people are willing to put themselves in harm's way, and we need to support those people too. And so how do we figure out to be united in supporting across those kinds of sectors? I'm really intrigued at that these days.
Yeah, really good point. And I think, you know, we're kind of in not the front line, but we're in the behind line watching and interviewing, and the people that are moving and grooving, like yourselves, both yourselves, and Rachel Thunder's been on the show a bunch of times, especially since what's been going down. But hey, Robert Lilligren, thank you so much as always for being on. Right on. And up next, we got Bob Blake from Red Lake, where we have Robert Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Hey, we got Bob howling again. That's awesome. Hey, that's Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Blake of the Solar Bearer. With the solar news, and it's good to see you, Bob. It's been a while, you know, what do you got for us this beautiful day here?
Yeah, Robert, there is hot off the press, Robert. The Department of Energy is directing $350 million to rural areas, specifically tribal nations, tribal communities, to help them with capacity building. So what this means basically, Robert, is there is now funding available from the Department of Energy for specifically tribal communities to now plan and to basically do their due diligence for these renewable energy projects. And the development, Robert, you know, if I can just say, takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of effort. And, you know, a lot of the times, you know, what we have to do is we have to get, you know, soil samples. We have to get engineering studies. We have to figure out exactly where we can interconnect the projects, what substations can handle the electricity load that we're going to be putting onto it. So there's a lot of due diligence that has to happen when you're doing these really big utility scale projects, and that costs, you know, that costs money to do, and that takes studies. And so I'm really, really happy to see this from the Department of Energy. And it was one of my critiques of them early on, that you're going to give tribes all this money, but you're not going to give them any money to develop the project. Like,
right.
It's like, and then, of course, one of my other gripes about, you know, this is, you know, that, you know, we need to be able to interconnect into the grid. So connecting our projects, you know, onto the transmission lines and not be set in a queue where we have to sit there for like 2 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So these things are now being addressed and they're being taken place. And I want to applaud the Department of Energy for taking the step, because tribes now can apply for this money. They can use it to develop their own projects, pay their engineers. You know, you don't have to find a solar developer who is going to like charge you a bunch of money to do it. The tribes can do it themselves, you know, with some guidance. And so this is a really good thing, Robert. And so I'm really happy to see this happen today.
I'm excited. And also, you can bring that knowledge to my nation, too, because we're going to have you talk to our group. And one of the key things, as you know, my background is probably avoiding work. So I don't know anything about solar energy or renewable energies. And we have to bring people in that do know, like yourself, or you know people, or you know, because we also have the wind, we also have the hydro, and those, all those things I'm clueless about, you know. I'm just like, so we have to bring the experts in, so that allows us, what you're talking about allows us to do that.
Yeah, and like I said, Robert, this money now that became available today is really huge, because now tribes now can apply for this, and mm-hmm. and they can use that to just to use that for development, right? So you right. can pay the experts, so you can pay those people that understand, you know, how to go do the soil samples, and you know, make sure that, you know, that where you're putting your project, you know, isn't gonna, you know, be in an area also too where, you know, there's you know, burial remains or just anything, right. artifacts, you know what I mean? Just like those things have to happen. And so, I'm really happy to see this. And I hope all the people out there listening, please let your tribal nation know that this money is now available and, to apply for it. And well, hire Solar Bear.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Solar Bear. You know, we talked years ago, about, when the sun goes down, the wind blows, and you know, how do we keep that going? Where, and especially, you know, do we do batteries? And we really want to go towards hemp batteries, and they're not ready yet. And do we get ready for those? And those things that, you know, really help Mother Earth too in a big way, because you have the people that are pushing back a little bit on what these renewables are made out of. And but we've talked about how much that what it's better, you know, the planet's burning. We need to do something, and we need to do something for our next generation, yeah. the next seven generations.
Yes, Robert, you're so correct. Like, just act, right? Just do something. Like, that's what I ask every tribal government. Don't, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but do something. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And so, whether it's just installing a solar system on top of your government building,
exactly.
whether and the beauty about solar is that you can scale up. So you can start with a house, and then you can, you know, put a microgrid together with 10 houses, and then, you know, or you can just start with one building, and then you can add on to other buildings. And so it doesn't have to be some grandiose plan, but you just have to start, you know right. what I mean? And what happens then is momentum picks up, and mm-hmm. people in the community get interested, and they right. want to be a part of it. And then now you got community buy-in, right?
Right.
And other people want to be involved. And so they start taking the load basically off of your shoulders, because they want to help and they want to be a part of it. And so that's my advice to,
right.
you know, the different, you know, communities, tribal communities that are listening to this, is just start with one project. Just start with one project. That's it. Just get one thing done and then move from there, because you're going to find people in your community that want to be a part of this. And
right.
that's the beauty of this, is that our people can learn this, and we can take this knowledge and we can use it. And we can, you know, get the rest of other community members to be involved. So, just start with your project.
Well, and then, you know, look forward to maybe being your own energy consortium or whatever, but start little steps. I get a weird happy feeling, because I was down on Wounded Knee, and on the way there, that farm, seeing these huge wind farms out there, and you just kind of go, oh wow, that's cool. Or whenever I drive somewhere, I see a lot of solar panels on somebody's land. It kind of gets me like happy and prideful.
Yeah, right? Because that's like that positive energy that's coming into the community, right? And that's mm-hmm. what I say, right? Like, us natives, you know, we're in the gaming business, which is a $1 billion business, but there's a lot of negativity that's attached or aura that's attached to that capital. And right. Can you imagine if we started switching to renewables and what type of positive aura that that capital is going to bring into our community? You know what I mean? Like right. that's the thing, like the unseen energy that you can't see, but you know it's there, right? And so that's why I'm so positive about renewable energy and what I think that it can do for our communities and for all communities, actually. So I hope to see more and more tribes and communities switch to renewables.
Yes, and you'll help our tribe here, and we'll talk about it someday here on the show, because we're ready and ready to move, and especially with today's news. Robert, thanks for being on. Robert Lilligren, thanks for being on. Ogma Pinigigi for the news and all the work you do. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. You need.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.